I'm very excited. And I want you to go ahead and mark your calendars. Sunday, September 23rd. My brother from another mother is going to be preaching to us in the presence of Mike Tolliver from San Antonio, Texas. So mark it down. He's going to be here in a few weeks. And on that day, we're not going to have any kids' classes except for the nursery. And so please remember that at 10 o'clock, actually prior to 10 o'clock, let's all come in here. And only the nursery will be back there. And Mike Tolliver is going to be preaching the word. Amen. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. I've titled this morning's lesson, Absolutely Confident. Absolutely Confident. And you will understand why in a little bit. There's a song we sang a few weeks ago that I want to read the lyrics to us again. It says, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I shall not fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. That song, that hymn was written by a man named Russell Carter. He spent several years as an ordained minister, after which he went to medical school. Although Carter professed to be a Christian most of his life, it wasn't until a crisis with his natural heart that he began to understand the reality and power of Bible promises. At the age of 30, his health was in critical condition, and the doctors could do no more for him. Carter decided to turn to God for help and healing. He knelt and made a promise that healing or not, his life was finally and forever fully consecrated to the service of the Lord. It was from that moment that the written word of God became alive to Carter. He began to stand up upon the promises of healing, determining to believe no matter what his physical condition, no matter how he felt, Over the course of the next several months, his strength returned and his heart was completely healed. Carter lived another healthy 49 years. The hymn Carter had written several years before his healing became more than words to music to him. Standing on the promises became an integral part of his life. I hope you were encouraged Thursday night. The elders had the opportunity and the chance to anoint many of you with oil and prayed over you. And I know the healing has started. Amen, church? Amen. A brother walked up to me on Friday night and said, you know, he was one of the brothers that came forward. Said even when, you know, he sat in the chair and they prayed for him and anointed him, he was having major migraine headaches. And he was getting ready to leave town. And he said, believe it or not, an hour and a half later, all the headaches were totally gone. I said, amen. I know we prayed, and the elders prayed for a lot of you. I want us to continue to pray for Nick Freeman. They also prayed for him. His parents had to leave with him right now, and he's been taken to the ER. So continue to pray for Nick Freeman. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. You and I call on and serve a faithful God. We call on a God who cares about us deeply. A God who's made so many promises to us in his word. And you and I need to hold on to those promises. Amen? And so this morning, I want to talk to us about my favorite character outside of Jesus in the Bible, and that's Abraham. We're going to look at an aspect of him in Romans chapter 4. You can go ahead and be turning there. Because Abraham's life, for me, is truly an inspiration. He was a man just like you and me. And he's called the father of the faithful in the Bible. You know, I've had a week of a lot of reflection, a lot of prayer. I've been thanking God for my 50 years on this earth. For so many different things growing up. For the parents who gave birth to me. For my family. For different situations that I grew up with. It's been very sobering and it's been very humbling. Just to see all that God has done in the last 50 years in my life. And I'm very excited because 26 of those years, I've lived as a Christian. I have a lot to be thankful for. A great deal. I owe so much to so many people. It's been very, very humbling. Thinking about it. I want to say thanks to you all for all your calls, for the cards, for the emails, for the gifts, for the surprise party. It wasn't a surprise, you know. You can't get that kind of stuff by me. I found out several weeks ago, but I'm very, very thankful nonetheless. But I especially got to say a big thank you to my wife. A lot of you know that Sarah means princess in the Bible. My late mother's name was Sarah. Sarah gave birth to me and then I married a Sarah. And I can tell you I am truly blessed. Thank you so much for all that you did and all you continue to do. I love you very much. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. But was strengthened in his faith. And gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Amen? Amen. It tells us right here that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. You know, prior to this, in Genesis chapter 12, his name was Abram. Abram means exalted father. Later on in Genesis 17, God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many. The Bible tells us here that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became Abraham, the father of many. You know, you and I, we've read this story so many times, and I think it's good to look at it again this morning because I'm not sure we really totally understand what God pulled off here. Remember, we're told Abraham was about 75 years old when the Lord appeared to him. Now, back then, 75 years old was not very old. To us today, 75 is old. A lot of people don't see their 75th birthday in the 21st century. Back then, they used to live to be hundreds of years. But he was still old nonetheless in the sense that when God made the promise to him, he was an old man. And the Bible tells us that his wife Sarah was barren. She couldn't have kids. I mean, don't you think that God could have made those promises to him when he was quote-unquote a young man? When quote-unquote Sarah was fertile? God waited until that time had passed to fulfill that promise. Why? To show us that, you know what, he is God. That when he says something, it is going to happen. You know, when things happen under normal circumstances, you and I, a lot of times, we don't take notice of it. Because, I mean, what is the big deal between a man and a woman in the prime of their lives and they're fertile and they have a baby? It's nothing to it. Are you with me? But when somebody has passed the age of childbearing, and a man is old, and they tell you, wait a second, we're going to have a baby. You go, that's not possible. Why? Because those kind of things don't happen under normal circumstances. And that's what we read about here. But you see, Abraham understood God defies logic. Logic is defined as the path of reasoning used in any specific argument. Logic says, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. A man that old having a child. But you see, brothers and sisters, our faith should defy logic. Our faith needs to be in God's word, no matter what the circumstances. That's what Abraham did. If we claim to believe God, then we must believe what God says. We must trust what God says and not what our minds tell us. You see, real faith rests only on who God is and on what God says. Now turn to Genesis chapter 12. Let's read some of this stuff. You know, when I want to get encouraged in my life, I just go back and I start studying Abraham. Then I start getting excited. Because I know that just like God credited righteousness to him when he believed, God will also credit me with righteousness when I believe, like it talks about, we just read in Romans chapter 4. You see, in Genesis chapter 12, we know the story in verse 1. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left. And he took Lot and his entire family with him. We're not going to read the whole thing. But you know the story. Somewhere else it tells us that when he left, he did not know where he was going. Notice that's what God says. You know what? I want you to leave your country, leave your father's household, and I want you to go to a land I will show you. Amen? In other words, he was going to allow God to do the driving. I mean, can you imagine you get in your car and the thing starts driving itself, first of all, that would be a trick in itself. But the car just starts driving and says, now where are we going? Don't worry, trust me. I'm going to get you there. And all of a sudden, it pulls up in front of your favorite restaurant. Because you know the car knows you need to eat. Wow. You step out. You go have lunch. You come back in. And all of a sudden, your car, on its own, drives you back home. Every once in a while, you see one of these futuristic movies saying, you know what, maybe 100 years from now, that's going to be happening. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. You know, I don't want to see that accident happen. But, I mean, just imagine that. That's what exactly what happened to Abraham here. God says, you know what, I want you to leave. Trust me. He did not know where he was going. And he left. Incredible. God appears a second time. Look in Genesis 15. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I am childless and no one will inherit my estate? Excuse me. And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my I have a problem with this word. Heir. I always say heir. Excuse me. So a servant from my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, this is the part I love. Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Incredible. Remember, God had made that promise in Genesis 12. He says, I'm going to bless you. Your name will be great. Nations will come from you. At this point, he still got no kids. And so he expresses to God how he's feeling. That's okay, brothers and sisters. Amen? Like Gary says, God is a big God. He's a big boy. He can take it. There are times when, you know, stuff is going on in my life, and I'm frustrated, and I'm there just saying to God, what's up? I don't get this. Why is this going on? Why is this not happening? Come on, man. Would you give me a break? Come on. Lightning hasn't struck me yet. But I'm saying it's okay to be real with God. He can take it. Believe it or not, he knows how you feel. I don't know about you. He helped me to just get it out. I talked to him first. Amen? It's okay. That's what Abraham is doing. He said, hey, I'm timeless. Somebody else, one of my servants, will inherit all this stuff. And God says, no, that's not going to happen. Step outside. Look up. We can only surmise that this was at night. Because you don't see stars in the daylight. If you're seeing stars in the daylight, you got some problems. Okay, we can only assume that this was at night. And so he looks up and says, well, count the stars if you indeed you can. And he says, so shall your offspring be. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. You and I know that, again, for us today in the New Testament, we are children of Abraham. Did you know that? You and I as Christians, we're children of Abraham. That's exciting. That yes, it wasn't just Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs and all those Israelites and Jews. It all comes all the way down to us. That's exciting. That's awesome. But you see, God will credit to you righteousness if you will believe his promises. Because when God says something, it's done. It's over. It is sealed. Like I always say, you can take that to the bank. Amen? See, the problem though is, a lot of us, we're not fully persuaded that God has the power to deliver on what he has promised. And therein lies the problem. Now look in Genesis 17. This is when God changed his name. When Abram was 99 years old. 99! The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Verse 2. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and said to God, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. And kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Awesome. God changes his name from exalted father to father of many. He said, kings will come from you. Congregation, let me ask you, did God fulfill that promise? Yes, and then some. He says, nations will come from you. Did God fulfill that promise? Absolutely, and then some. He says, all earth will be blessed as a result of you. Has God fulfilled that promise? Absolutely. You see, it's so easy for us in the 21st century. We're reading this stuff now back. You know, it was in the past. But obviously, when this was being said, Genesis 17 hadn't been written yet. And he believed God. And the Bible says it was credited to him as righteousness. Amen? Now, another thing I love about God is that, believe it or not, every character in the Bible is not portrayed as if they're perfect and they have it all figured out. Okay? I don't know if you ever noticed that. There are very few people in the Bible where, you know, their life was just exemplary. Obviously, Jesus was God. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't just human, just like you and me. He was the Son of God, and he was God in the flesh, so he was perfect. But outside of Jesus, there are very few people where everything about their lives was just great. Believe it or not, Abraham, prior to this time, had lied a couple of times. You know the story? When God told him to leave his father's household and they left, what did he tell his wife? Say, by the way, what, if they ask you, tell them you're my sister. She was a pretty lady. Gorgeous looking lady. We talked about this before. He lied. In chapter 16 of Genesis, he tries to take matters into his own hands. Remember, God had promised him to bless him. And so Sarah came up with the idea. She said, you know what? Why don't you sleep with, you know, one of my maidservants? Again, it was very common during that time. If somebody couldn't have kids, you know, the idea of surrogacy, believe it or not, did not start with us. It's been going on for a long time. And so she said, you know, why don't you sleep with my maidservant and, you know, you'll have a child that way. And Abraham went along with it. Now later on, Sarah is complaining. Okay? But I bring that up to say, this man was not perfect. You and I will never be perfect. Now, the Bible does tell us to be perfect just as God is perfect. In other words, it's something that we strive towards. But we're all sinners. We all mess up. And to me, the exciting thing about that is, you know what? God only uses sinners like you and me to get the job done. So welcome to the club. I think sometimes we get so hard on ourselves. And we feel like we have to measure up. God knew you were a sinner. God knows I'm a sinner.
And he still wants to walk through me. And he still wants to walk through you. Just like Abraham. Amen, church? So stop being so hard on yourself. When the devil shows up and starts talking to you, oh, look at you, you're nothing, you're this, you're that. Tell him to get lost. God will use you, just like he used Abraham. If you would hang in there and not give up. Amen? I mean, believe it or not, this whole thing with Ishmael was Abraham trying to have a plan B, just in case God did not fulfill his promise. But you see, if we truly understand what the scriptures teach, for us there's no plan B. There's no plan C. There's only one plan. And that is the promise that God has given. Amen? That's what we have to do. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you absolutely convinced that God is able to fulfill his promise to you? Our version says, are you fully persuaded? Some versions say, are you absolutely confident? Another version says, are you fully assured? Another version says, are you being absolutely certain? Why should we trust God? First of all, the Bible tells us that he's not a man that he should lie. Amen? He's not like us. Men lie to us every day. Especially politicians. Now, before you get so hard on them, my Bible says pray for them. Amen? We need to pray for our leaders. I can't pray for him. I don't know about this. Let me tell you something. Every president that's ever lived is going to be a sinner. If you ever became president, you are a sinner. Hello. We need to stop this, you know, idea that, you know, these guys are perfect and they're going to do everything perfectly. I'm sorry. I don't know what island you're living on. But God is not man. Amen? That should change his mind. He doesn't lie. When God tells us something, it is going to happen. Also, remember, God is omnipotent. You say, what does that mean? It simply means he's all powerful. That's one of those words that smart people came up with to confuse the rest of us. Just tell me he's all powerful. I understand that. Omnipotence. Okay. I got to go look that up. It simply means he's all powerful. Amen? There is nothing he cannot do. In Genesis 18 verse 14, you can write this verse down. God actually says, is anything too hard for me? When God told again, the third time God showed up and said, you know, you're going to have a baby. Sarah laughed. She chuckled. That's when God made that statement. Is anything too hard for me? You see the same idea in Jeremiah 32 in verse 17 and in verse 27. The same idea in Matthew chapter 9 verse 26. That nothing is impossible with God, and obviously in Luke chapter 1 verse 37. God is all powerful. Nothing is too hard for him. You remember that picture that Gary showed earlier in the class? Jesus walking on water. Now that's a pretty neat trick. I've always felt when we get to the other side, that's one of the things I want to do very quickly. You know, the Bible does say we will be like God. It's like, well, he walked on water. Okay, where's the swimming pool? Let's just walk. But the funny thing is, I think we're all going to be able to do it. Okay, don't try it right now, please. If you don't know how to swim, you are going down very quickly. But you see, God is all powerful. Think about it. Through the ages, all of those who have trusted in God have never been disappointed. You know, Gary was telling us earlier his favorite chapter in the Bible. My favorite chapter in the Bible is Hebrews 11. Oh, I love Hebrews 11. If I had my way, I can preach about it for 6 months, nonstop. It gives us all these incredible characters that have gone before us. And before every single one of them, it would say, by faith, Abel did this. By faith, Moses went through this. By faith, Abraham went through this. And it just goes on down the list. Amen? And so I ask you again this morning, can you put a finger on a promise God has broken? You can't do it. I can't do it. Amen? Now, where are God's promises? They're right here in the book. They're right here in the book. God has never promised. I haven't found it in His word that, you know what, you will always have a job. It's not there. Okay? Now, there is a promise where God says, I will supply all your needs. There's a difference. You see, we interpret that to mean I will always have a job. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't say that in the book. Are you with me? But there are some incredible promises in here that you and I can believe in and take to the bank. You know, this is a pretty tall building. Imagine, you know, somebody say, well, I'm a Christian, you know, God is going to take care of me. And it climbs up to the top. I'm going to jump and God is going to catch me. I promise you, when you land, you would have broken some bones. Why? Because there is nowhere in here where it says, where God promises that if you jump off a building, I am going to catch you. It's not there. But again, I bring that up, we're laughing because some people think that way. Well, after all, I'm a child of God. And so if I go do this, God's going to be... No! You better make sure that whatever it is you're trying to claim, it's in the book. You can tell me book, chapter, and verse. That you can take to the bank. That God will fulfill in your life. Amen? See, there are so many things God has promised us in His word that we can hold on to, that we can build our lives on. And there are so many things that we make up in our own minds that God hasn't promised us. Okay? Let me talk to my single brothers and sisters for a second. I know the Bible teaches that, trust me, God says, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Okay? That's what the book says. Amen? Now notice, number one, on that verse, there's no time limit. It doesn't say, I will give you the desires of your heart in the next 6 months. It doesn't say that. So sometimes we put that in there. In other words, you're like, come on, Lord, you know, you tell me you're going to give me desires of my heart. I've been desiring this person for so long. How come they don't even notice me? You see, that you can't equate that verse to God saying you're ever going to be married. It doesn't say that. I know we do it. But it doesn't say that. Now, it's great to be married. I highly recommend it. Are you with me? But God doesn't promise you that He's going to give your husband or He's going to give your wife. Another thing God doesn't promise us in His word is that, you know what, we'll never be sick. I hope you were touched again Thursday night to see the amount of people that came forward asking for prayers and wanting to be anointed by the elders. It was awesome. But God never said to us in His word, you will always be well. It's not there. And so when you come down with something, or I come down with something, we can't get all upset about it. Now, God does promise, though, no matter what you're going through, He will be right there with you. I don't know about you, that's good enough for me. That's all I need. God promises, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That no matter what it is we're going through, He's going to be right there with you. That's the most important thing, amen? God has promised us so many things in His word. The question is, do we believe them? You know, it's amazing how everything expires on your birthday. And so, you know, my registration was coming up. And prior to that, a few weeks ago, that engine light came on. And so I take it to get it checked. You know, the guy he stuck something in there and he has all these codes. And he goes, you're not going to pass inspection. He says, this is broken. This is broken. This needs to be fixed. I said, just give me the bottom line. Okay, now I didn't go to one of these, mechanics, some of these dealers or whatever. I mean,
Here's a guy that used to work for Toyota that a brother introduced me to. So the guy doesn't overcharge you. I mean, he does things bare bones. So I said, bottom line. He adds them all together. He includes his labor. It was going to be over $600. And I'm thinking to myself, $600 to get a $20 emission certificate. This doesn't make sense. And so, you know, I'm like, okay. I got a couple more weeks to get this stuff done. I just said, you know what? Let me pray about this. And so I started praying about it. That somehow, that light will go off. It was on a Tuesday. I'll never forget it. Because I jumped into the car. I'm taking the girls to their Bible discussion. And I'm driving. I noticed the light is off. I'm praying the whole time. So I drop the kids off at Bible talk. And I drive straight to the admissions guy. The guy goes, oh, I'm about to close in 2 minutes. I said, you got to do this. So he plugs his thumb. You passed. And so I text my mechanic and I said, you're not going to believe this. The lights went off. I came straight to get my emissions done. And so I passed. So he said, good for you. 2 days later, the light came back on. God is good. So that thing can stay on for the next 12 months. I don't care. That saved me over $600 that I don't have. I share and say, I pray about everything. Okay? That's all I do. Now, God has a sense of humor. Then the engine light on my wife's car came on. I prayed again. The light did not go off this time. And so that one cost me. And now, you know, both cars are not registered. But I say that to say, you know what? No matter what it is you're going through, just take it to the Lord. Faith is a battle. Faith is a struggle sometimes. But faith never gives up. When you believe, it will be credited to you as righteousness, just like God did for Abraham. Amen? Like I said earlier, after making the original promise in Genesis chapter 12, God waited until it was physically impossible for them to have children before he fulfilled his promise. That's amazing to me. You know, Spurgeon once said, faith is having a holy confidence in God. You know, a few weeks ago, I was sharing about one of my best friends, who's also a preacher, and recovering from cancer. He went to the doctors. Praise God, the cancer has not spread to his bones. But we need to continue to pray. They still don't know where this stuff is coming from. But amen, the cancer has not reached his bones, so which means, you know, he's going to be here for a while. And that's exciting to me. Abraham had faith in God. His faith was growing as the time passed. He said, Richard, how do I have faith in God? It's very simple. Write this down. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, the hearing comes from the word of God. You want your faith to grow? You want your faith to increase? Please get into the Bible. And you watch what God will do. You know, I'm fired up about being 50. I have to be very honest with you. You know, it's been very exciting for me personally. You know, people ask me, so how are you doing? I'm doing great. I just turned 50. Because for me, it has given me an opportunity to tell people what God has done in my life, which is what sharing your faith is. And so I decided on my own, you know what? Over the next week or so, I want to talk to 50 new people about God and invite them to church. And about tell them about what he has done in my life and he's doing and he's still doing. Nobody asked me to do that. Just, you know what? I gotta tell other people about this. It's been awesome. You know, somebody once wrote this that I'm about to read to you, and this is where I'm going to end. Now, let's suppose, you know, Abraham lived today with us, amongst us, during our time. What would that 25-year wait look like? Remember, God appeared to him and made those promises when he was 75. In other words, what would be the possible chronology of those 25 years waiting on that promise? At age 76, he would have gone out and bought a crib. At age 78, he makes a list of possible boy names. Again, we're talking about, we're bringing him into the 21st century now. At the age of 80, he orders a supply of super absorbent Pampers. At age 85, he goes hunting while Sarah's friends give her a baby shower. At age 86, he puts up wallpaper in the baby's room. At age 90, he subscribes to New Parent magazine. At 93, he and Sarah start Lamar's classes. At 96, he drives a practice run to the hospital. At 98, he packs the suitcase and sets it by the tent door. At age 99, he scratches his head and says, "I wonder if God was just kidding me." Obviously, he didn't do any of these things. He did not waver through unbelief. He was absolutely confident that God had the power to do what he had promised. Brothers and sisters, God has made some incredible promises to you and I today. They're incredible. And none has ever failed. Every single promise has been fulfilled. You know, I was thinking about this also this week. If I was home, in my culture, on this particular Sunday, you know, we'd have main service and everything. I would, with my family and my friends, would come in, dancing, singing, and giving thanks to God, and doing what we call a Thanksgiving service. And there's a song that we always sing during that, medley of singing. It says, "I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. Jesus never fails." And we'll be singing. We'll be coming up front through the aisles. And the rest of the church joins you and they come forward. Then the ministers and the elders pray for you. This world I've been doing in Lagos. If I was a part of that congregation this morning. But you see, brothers and sisters, we have a God that you and I can be. We can put absolute faith in Him. We can have absolute confidence in every promise that's in this book. All we need to do is to keep claiming it every single day. And one day we get to spend eternity with Him. God bless you all.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, God, you never cease to amaze us. You are so good. You are so great. You are so unfailing in our lives. You have given us so many great and rich promises. Father, but you know us. You know we are sinful and we are weak and we do waver, Father, and we do have our struggles. But we thank you, Lord, that through you we can overcome them all. Father, we're thankful that you've given us faith, God, and examples from men like Abraham, Father, and we pray for greater faith. God, we pray for greater faith that will defy logic, defy reason. Father, that will always look to you and gain strength from you. Father, we do especially pray for Nick Freeman as he's at the emergency room right now, and just pray for your healing and your miraculous work in his life today and ongoing. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to live a life of great faith this week and forever forward. We love you, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.